From Memphis, Tennessee, on the banks of the mighty Mississippi, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
All right. Well, hello, America. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Great to have you with us today. Hour two of the big show, watching the impeachment trial underway on Capitol Hill. Here's hoping for a better day for the Trump legal team. And or if anybody out there, and maybe you are still in law school and you might want to give the president a hand, just head on down to Washington. I don't think you can do any worse than what's already happened out there. 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Our website is toddstarnes.com, and there is lots of information for you there, including access to our podcast as well as our free newsletter. All you have to do, go to the website and sign up, and we're going to get you ready and set. All right, a lot going on this hour of the show. I want to go right now to the Liberty University Newsmaker line, good friend of this program, the president of Family Research Council, Tony Perkins. Hey, Tony, good to have you with us today.
Don, how are you doing?
You know, I'm doing well, just a little frustrated by what I've been seeing coming out of Washington. And for whatever reason, the president has been having a difficult time finding attorneys that are going to be able to deliver and do what needs to be done up there on Capitol Hill.
Yeah, these attorneys that were making his case yesterday and again today are there for him today. Had about a week to prepare as he changed legal teams. I think there was a disagreement over strategy. The president was wanting to use this as an opportunity to continue the concern he had about the integrity of our election system. And the attorneys that he had said that's not what we need to do. We need to focus on what the charges against you are. And so I think part of that was just a differing of opinion. But here's the bottom line, Todd. I mean, this is political theater. They are not going to convict this president. They're not going to reach the two-thirds majority that's required to impeach him. This is about the Democrats being able to put on a show to demonize not only President Trump, but more importantly, what they're trying to do is demonize the 74 million Americans who voted for him. That's what this is about.
Well, and to that point, we hope that they don't have the numbers to convict. I mean, Senator Cassidy out of Louisiana was a bit surprising.
No, it's not a surprise. He has been a weak-kneed Republican for ever since he entered politics. I've known him for years. He was one of the deciding votes in the House when he was a congressman to pass hate crimes. This is not surprising at all, given his track record.
Well, I was glad to see the Louisiana Republican Party come out and condemn the senator for what he did here. But again, this goes back to elections having consequences. And as you said, trying to destroy this president and demonize his supporters. And we just cannot allow that to stand.
Yeah, this is a multifaceted attack on conservative voters. I mean, former President Trump is a target in the impeachment. But if you're here in Washington, D.C., and you happen to go around down by the Capitol, which is now Checkpoint Pelosi, I've been all over the world. I've been to some of the worst places, and I've not seen the type of security that they have erected around the Capitol. 10-foot fences with razor wire, 5,000 troops with automatic weapons. And here's the contrast, Todd. We're in Washington, D.C. We had to board up our building because the local authorities won't provide the protection to the businesses here when Antifa and Black Lives Matter were looting and burning. But the threat is pretty much gone. Now, Antifa was, running through the streets on Sunday saying, burn it down. But most of the businesses are taking down the boards. Hopefully they want to move back to business as normal when the government releases these coronavirus restrictions. But in terms of the physical threat, it's pretty much gone. But then why is Nancy Pelosi ramping up security at the Capitol? It's all about political theater. That's what this is all about, to try to connect conservatives with what happened on January the 6th. This is all a part of the play that they're putting on. And quite frankly, it's disgusting because it's costing taxpayers about $500 million for what they're doing around the Capitol, not to mention the damage that it is doing to our reputation internationally and to our country in terms of dividing us even further.
Tony, you're right. There are a lot of things to unpack here. I'm wondering, from your vantage point as one of the conservative leaders there in the nation's capital, you're looking out over the political landscape. Who is that person, or are there people that you see that could carry the torch of the Trump years and the policies that President Trump implemented?
I think what's going to have to happen, Todd, is that conservatives are just going to have to hold their ground and not shrink back in the face of this. And I'm going to use a term, and I'm using it intentionally, the demonization. This is right out of Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radicals and what they're trying to do conservatives. And I know the effect it has on people. People, you know, they don't want to be labeled this way, so they kind of either go silent or they just kind of forget about this. We cannot walk away from our responsibility to preserve this republic by continuing to contend for the very ideals this republic was built upon. And so we're going to have to go toe-to-toe with the liberals. We don't fight the same way they do. We fight fair. We fight within the confines of the law. But we cannot in any form or fashion wave a white flag. There is too much at stake.
Well, there is, and I would just point to the Biden executive orders that have been a direct attack and assault on sex and gender. Those are going to impact churches, Christian schools,
yes,
universities, you name it.
Yes, this is. But here's the good news, Todd. There's already pushback. Now, let me just give your listeners, and probably you, I know you've talked about this, but. What happens when we get into a situation like this, we kind of get a kind of tunnel vision where we're just looking at what's happening at the moment. But let's put this in context. In 2009, when the Democrats had the White House, the Senate, and the House, they pushed through Obamacare. And I was here for that fight. It cost them dearly, and not just in Congress, but all across the country. We saw legislatures flip. We saw during the decade from 2010 to 2020 more pro-life laws passed at the state level than the previous three decades prior to that. So there is pushback at the state level already. There is, I don't have the number in front of me, but dozens of laws being introduced at the state legislative level to address the election irregularities. So the fight continues. There's actually really good news at the state level of some of the things that are happening. And so we can't get discouraged by the political theater that we're seeing up here, which is designed to do just that, to discourage conservatives.
Yeah, no, I hear what you're saying, Tony. I think my concern, though, is the fight within the Republican Party itself,
yeah,
where conservatives are possibly going to be marginalized, or at least they're trying to redefine that definition of conservative.
This is one of those occasions, Todd, where the sheep have to lead. This is where the people have to lead. You know, I use that term sheep because that's one that's familiar in the Bible, the sheep, the shepherds. The people have to lead here, and because the leaders aren't leading. That's what made Trump so... with all of his issues, made him so attractive. He was willing to take on what was tearing America apart. And, of course, the reaction to that from the left has been they've gone ballistic, and we're seeing it now as they're trying to push the pendulum back the other direction. But we have to set the pace so that we'll get a leader that will move in that direction. We cannot wait for one of these leaders to come and say, "Hey, I'm gonna lead this effort," because quite frankly, I'm not sure we'll find another person like Donald Trump that was willing to take on those who hate America like he did.
Yeah, well said. And I am curious. We've been talking about these polls that show a majority of Republicans would support President Trump if he started a new party and would actually lead the Republicans to join the president. I contend we ought to stay and fight, you know, in the Republican Party because we are the majority. What do you think about that, Tony?
Yeah, you know, I'm not a big party person because I've had more issues with the party than not. But I don't think it's helpful to divide conservative voters. I think we do need to stick together. I think, look, we've made great progress in the party. Look, in the time I've almost 20 years I've been in Washington, what I've seen happen here in Congress, now most people aren't going to see it because the press doesn't report it. They don't want you to know this. But we have the most ideologically conservative Republican caucus than we've ever had. In fact, there's not a single openly pro-choice member of the House of Representatives that's Republican. The last ones left in 2018. There are, if you look at a pro-life legislation that introduced, it's almost all Republicans will support it. So we're making progress, not there at the point of majority yet, but just about five seats away. And I have watched the Congress become, now it's polarized because the left has become more liberal, leftist, and the right, conservatives, Republicans, have become more conservative. So don't think that people are not having an effect upon shaping the Republican Party. They absolutely are, but you cannot believe the mainstream media. They're not going to tell you that because that would encourage the conservatives to continue doing what they've been doing.
All right, Tony, we're going to have to leave it there. Good stuff, as always. Tony Perkins, FRC.org is the website. Tony, good hearing from you.
Todd, always great to be with you. Take care.
All right, Tony Perkins there, folks, on the Liberty University Newsmaker line. And he says we should be encouraged, which I think we are on this program, but we're also dealing in the reality of the situation. And Tony Perkins says that we are going to have to lead. In other words, you are going to have to be the leaders of the Republican Party, not Mitch McConnell, not Liz Cheney. So look, we're going to take a break here. We're going to open up the phone lines, 844-747-8868. That's a toll-free number, 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Triggering microaggressions from coast to coast. It's Todd Starnes.
All right, folks, welcome back to the show. Let's go right to the phones, 844-747-8868. Connor in Boston. Hey, Connor, what's going on?
Oh, for starters, I am triggered up here today. We're talking about that store-bought maple syrup. You know, we have real maple syrup up this one. Well, it's like me saying I'm going down to the Kroger. I'm going to get some of that iced tea mix and some Kraft barbecue sauce and going into Southern barbecue.
All right, we're hanging up on you now. We're hanging up on you now, Connor. Those are fighting words. You can't buy store-bought barbecue sauce.
But, Todd, I'll tell you, I'm calling in because I am so frustrated watching this impeachment go on, this impeachment trial, I should say. It's like we should be focusing on out of the country, our elected officials, as opening up our economy and getting aid to those who actually really need it, not focusing on a political theater for the Democrats. And you have these Republicans out there. You have what, Mitt Romney, I mean, seriously, who are basically just not focusing on what they were put in there to do. Quite honestly, I'm really thinking about going online and getting Mitt Romney a snowflake blouse and, you know, maybe a MyPillow, because maybe he needs to sleep a little bit better. Maybe the brain's just not working. You know, if I do, I'll use the promo code STARNS, you know, to get him that. But
well
it's
done,
just unbelievable,
Connor.
To watch.
Wow, you're like, you're on fire today, man. You're hitting all the buttons.
Well, I'll tell you, I do sleep on a MyPillow, and, you know, I had a little bit of community coffee this morning. So
Wait. So you're drinking community coffee now?
You better believe it. They have it at my local grocery store now. I saw it there. It's from New Orleans. I've heard you talk about it, and it is much better than Starbucks. I'll tell you that much. It's real coffee.
And it's cheaper, too. It's a family-made, family-owned company, good people down there. and it's a delicious cup of chicory coffee. Mm-mm. All right, Connor, back to the politics at hand. No, you're right about this, and we just had Tony Perkins on, and look, I think the problem is not the Democrats. The problem is the Republican Party, and I think they're the ones who caused Trump to lose the election. That's honest to goodness. Putting aside the voter fraud, Connor, I think the Republicans were not unified going into this election cycle.
And that's the problem. You have these Republicans who just are out there. They have no moral guidance. They don't have a conservative agenda. They want to say whatever they have to say to get elected, and they'll change with the wind. And that's what people are so frustrated with the Republican Party. I agree with you. I don't think a third party is really going to be helpful. It's just going to hurt us. But you have these people out there who are just not helpful, and they've done it to themselves. And that you're right. They cost the president this election. It's just unbelievable.
All right, Connor, we're going to let you get back to that community coffee and enjoy a nap this afternoon on the MyPillow promo code Stearns. Good guy. Connor from Boston, ladies and gentlemen. All right, let's go to Greenbrier, Arkansas. Chris on the line. Hi, Chris. What's up?
Hey, Todd. I just wanted to kind of add on to what your caller from Boston was saying, and also to what Tony was saying. I agree with you. I think it's the Republican Party's fault. I put all blame on them because they're not putting up the fight that needs to be fought for us. And I sympathize and agree with the third party. I know it's not going to be very strong for us, but what else do we do? I feel like a Scottish outlander, and that is trying, or a Highlander, excuse me, that is trying to save my country, but we're up against the big giant. And we're losing in every turn that we do, and it's because we're losing because we're trusting leadership that is weak. They don't have a spine. They're losing to idiots up there. I've watched the Democrats and I've watched AOC and I watch all of them just go up there and they do their little shows and stuff. American people are not that stupid. We see that these people are idiots. I don't believe what the media is putting out there. And because I have fellow conservatives that are, they're losing their fight because they're seeing, what can we do now? Because the people that we're entrusting to do our fight for us, and actually we're supporting them to in that fight. I don't mean to say that they're just standing alone, but what else do we do besides start a third party and then? And then we get out there, and the third party is not going to be just as weak because we have a bunch of a band of idiots up there that are overrunning us. And we know that they're idiots.
Well, we do, Chris. And again, I feel your sympathy here. And we have to address the root problem head on here. And the problem is we have cultural rot in the Republican Party. We have a lot of people up there in that party in leadership, and they do not represent we the people. And we got to do something about it. All right, look, got to take a break here. 844-747-8868. We'll be right back. Folks, welcome back to the Todd Stearns Show. Good to have you with us on a very busy news day around these parts. Want to say hello to all of our listeners out in the great state of Nevada on the Nevada Talk Network, and also all of our listeners online at USA Radio Network, now syndicating this radio show. So this just coming in, the folks who run Twitter say that even if President Trump runs for office again and is reelected, he will never be allowed back on Twitter. So the president permanently banned from their social media platform. And I don't know about you guys, we have sort of migrated to, well, we were at Parler and also Gab, so we're on gab.com. We would encourage you to follow us there, but there you go. All right. Also watching developments underway, the impeachment trial of President Trump underway in the U.S. Senate. On the Liberty University Newsmaker line, our good friend from the great state of Ohio, Congressman Jim Jordan. Congressman, good to have you back with us.
Good to be with you today, Todd. Isn't that amazing? So much for the First Amendment, right? So much for
just for, right out the window.
Free speech. Yeah, like unbelievable. And what did I see a headline a few weeks back where these social media platforms had lost billions and billions of dollars? Maybe it has something to do with the fact you took off the guy with the largest social media following in the world. Maybe it has something to do with that fact. So I don't get it. But I guess it is what it is.
Yeah, it's frustrating. You know, they banned me from LinkedIn, Congressman. Can you believe that?
What?
You got banned from LinkedIn.
Yeah, big tech is out to get conservatives. It's for sure. And, you know, there was a handful of us, Todd, I think we talked about it on your show before, who were four of us a couple years ago, four members of the in all of Congress, only four members, Gates, Meadows, Nunes, Jordan, four members who were shadow banned back in the middle of when we were trying to expose the ridiculous Trump-Russia, the whole Russia hoax investigation. And it was just interesting that, you know, four of us shadow banned. And, of course, Twitter said it was just a glitch in the algorithm. And I responded to someone back then. I said, a glitch in the algorithm? What'd you put in the algorithm? The name Gates, Meadows, Nunes, Jordan? Come on.
Yeah, that's so a great point.
I think our side has figured out what they're up to. But in spite of that, we just got to keep getting the message out. And I think we're going to win in the long run.
You know, I think it was a brilliant tweet a few hours ago that you wrote. You said in the past year, Democrats have canceled your ability to go to church, go to work, go to school. And now they're trying to cancel President Trump's ability to run for re-election.
Yeah, that's exactly. I mean, yesterday, I think the defense team got this message out there that look, they're trying to cancel the guy that 74 million of us voted for. They don't want him on the ballot in 4 years. Democrats talk about, you know, protecting democracy. So now this is an interesting definition. Protecting democracy means you keep someone off the ballot so people can't vote for him that might want to. And they're so obsessed with keeping him off the ballot that they're willing to ignore the Constitution, willing to ignore due process, willing to ignore the facts. You know, it's kind of interesting, that video they played yesterday, the one statement they left out of that video that's kind of important is where the president said peacefully and patriotically, make your voices heard. So, again, I think the American people see this for what it is, and it's not unifying the country, and it's largely a waste of time.
You know, when you look at what's happening up on Capitol Hill, and especially within the ranks of the Republicans, I mean, you had Senator Bill Cassidy going along with these other Republicans, mm-hmm. siding with the Democrats. When you had, you know, Republicans in the House, a small minority. But again, you just wonder, is the party united, and are we all focused here on really, quite frankly, the winning agenda, which is an agenda the House Freedom Caucus has been behind since day one?
Yeah. No, I do think the party is still united. Look, 96% of us in the House voted against impeachment. 44 out of 50 senators voted yesterday to say this is unconstitutional exercise that the Democrats are putting the nation through. So I do think we're united. Those who voted the wrong way, they can vote. You know, that's between, I always tell folks, that's between them and the good folks back home in their districts that they get to represent. My guess is, though, back in their districts, they're getting an earful from people who are saying, what, you want to proceed in this unconstitutional impeachment where Democrats are trying to remove someone from office who's already left? You know, this obsession, Todd, I said this the other day, Democrats tried to remove President Trump from office before he got there, and now they're trying to remove him after he's left. It's that is how focused they have been on going after the president, going all the way back to July of 16 when they opened the Trump, the Crossfire Hurricane investigation, and of course now after he's left office with this second crazy impeachment.
You know, it's just remarkable, Congressman, when you look at what's happening and this effort to change the narrative, to redefine, re-engineer what happened on January 6th, and somehow try to blame every Trump conservative and Trump supporter out there. It's just mind-blowing, but it's actually working in the eyes of the mainstream media.
Yeah, but the mainstream media never gets it right. So you're right. It's not just about canceling the guy we all voted for. It's about canceling all 74 million of us. And this is a very dangerous road we're heading down. And it's a road that frankly, is filled with hypocrisy, because there is no way that the president's language of that on January 6th meets the Brandenburg test, the key case and from the Supreme Court where they established this incitement standard. It just doesn't meet the standard. But frankly, there's lots of statements made by Democrats that come much closer to meeting the test under Brandenburg. Specifically last summer, when you had a member of the United States Congress, a Democrat member, say there needs to be more unrest in the streets, while in fact there was unrest going on in the streets. Now, that is very dangerous language from a Democrat. But oh no, that's fine. We're only going to attack the president. So, the Republicans have condemned the violence every single time. We condemned it on January 6th, and we condemned it when it happened last summer. The Democrats, I'd like them to have a little more consistency from them as well.
Congressman, over the past couple of days, we've fielded a lot of calls from people who disagree with me. I believe that the conservatives ought to stay put. They should stay in the Republican Party and fight the good fight. I think a third party is a bad idea. But I'm telling you, Congressman, there are a lot of conservatives, a lot of Republicans who feel otherwise. What is your message to those people?
No, I understand their concern, but I like you, agree that the best way to do it is for us to make sure the Republican Party stays the conservative party, stays the America First Party, stays the party that supports the policies that President Trump put in place over the last 4 years. One of the most successful presidencies ever, certainly the most successful presidency in my lifetime, a president did more what he said he would do than any president in our lifetime, Todd, where he said he's going to cut taxes, did, said he's going to reduce regulations, did, said he was going to, we had the best economy in prior to COVID, the best economy in 50 years, lowest unemployment. He put conservatives, Gorsuch, Kavanaugh, Coney Barrett on the court. He got out of the Iran deal, embassy in Jerusalem, Abraham Accords, new NAFTA agreement, hostages home from North Korea, took on, I'm forgetting a bunch of other things. It was amazing, successful presidency. I kind of like that, and I kind of like the fact that President Trump's the leader of our party. So let's stay united as a conservative Republican party, a populist party, but rooted in conservative principle. That's who we are. That's what we need to be, and that's how we win elections going forward. I think we're going to take back the House.
Well,
I really do.
I hope so. And let me ask you, do you think, is the president, is Trump still the leader of the Republican Party in your eyes?
Without a doubt. He's got like a 90-some percent approval rating across the party, without a doubt, because Americans appreciate people who tell them what they're going to do, get elected, and go do what they said. That's what they appreciate. I mean, it's so refreshing. It shouldn't be refreshing. It should be what we all do in this, what every elected official does. But unfortunately, it's not. So when President Trump said he was going to do things like build the wall and cut people's taxes and fight for American families and fight for the values and principles that make our country special, and then went and did it, it was like, wow, this is a breath of fresh air. He is definitely the leader of our party. That is a good thing, and that is why the Democrats know they don't want him on the ballot in 2024. Because here's what happened this last election, real quick, Todd. They knew they couldn't beat President Trump under the existing rules, so they had to change the rules in the run-up to the election, and they did it in an unconstitutional fashion, particularly in the state of Pennsylvania, the six states we objected to. I mean, they went around the legislature, had a partisan Secretary of State in Pennsylvania, for example, partisan Supreme Court in Pennsylvania, changed the rules changed the law unconstitutionally. That's what we objected to. So when we go into 2024, President Trump at the top of the ticket and the election is run the way it's supposed to be in a constitutional fashion, I think President Trump's going to win.
All right. Congressman, we're going to have to leave it there. Great stuff, as always. Good hearing from you.
You bet. Thanks, Todd. Take care.
All right. Congressman Jim Jordan out of the great state of Ohio. And the congressman says, hey, look, Donald Trump is still the leader of the Republican Party, and we've got to stay and we've got to fight the good fight. So what say you? Do you still view President Trump as the leader of the Republican Party? 844-747-8868 is our toll-free number. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
You're listening to Todd Starnes.
I was trying to multitask during the news break. Good to have you back with us, folks. A lot going on around here, and I You know, I'm always encouraged to hear from Jim Jordan because he's such a passionate supporter of this president and his policies. And, you know, we've been talking about this for years. The idea of a Republican president delivering on his campaign promises, it should not be much of a surprise, but it is. And that's what was so refreshing about Donald Trump. All right, let's go to the phones, 844-747-8868. Toby in Little Rock. Hey, Toby, what's on your mind?
Hey, Todd. Well, you're asking the question, do we believe that Donald Trump is leader of the Republican Party? And the answer to that would be yes. He's the only real leader we've had in Washington, D.C. for quite some time. And not only is he leader of the Republican Party, Todd, I believe he is still the duly elected president of the United States. And I believe before this year is out, we're going to see some changes. I believe Joe Biden is going to be not only out of the White House, he very well may be in an orange jumpsuit. But
now, why do you say that, Toby? What do you think? You're saying that Joe Biden's probably going to end up in prison. Why would he end up in prison?
Well, because on any number of levels, but he is a part of the conspiracy. There you go, a word that people like to use and abuse, but there is a obvious conspiracy of evil going on. Red China put a lot of money into helping the Democrats steal this election, and Biden is a conspirator with them, along with most of the leadership of the Democrat Party. There's an undercurrent out here, Todd, where I live, and I believe throughout the United States. There's a lot of us out here that are not going to tolerate this. I will say this. I believe I'm a Christian, and I do believe that God answers prayer. And I believe there's going to be an upheaval in the near future. And that the evidence is already out there. No one wanted to take a look at the evidence, but the evidence is undeniable. And some way, somehow, God is going to make a way to get this evidence out to the broader public. And there will be an outcry for justice, even from many that did not vote for Trump in this last election. I mean, he won by a landslide. Anyone with any sense that paid attention to the facts knows that. So he, as far as I'm concerned, he is the legitimate president of the United States. What we've got going on right now is a farce. And Biden's only going to be in there as long as he can remember how to spell his name. And once he forgets that, he'll be out. I don't think he even knows what he's signing. I don't think he cares.
Oh, well, I can agree with you on that, Toby. I don't think the president has a clue what he's signing. He is a puppet. The guy clearly is suffering from some sort of mental deficiencies, whether that be dementia or, you know, just old age. There's something not quite right about all of this. And I think in a very short amount of time, we are going to see Kamala Harris stepping into that role. And when that happens, Toby, when that happens, I believe we are going to see who ultimately is pulling the strings here and who's running things. That's what I think is going to happen. And that person, quite frankly, very well may be whoever she picks as her vice president. So we'll see what happens there. Tony, appreciate the call. I got to say this, though, folks. I mean, Toby seems to think that Trump is going to get back into the White House. I don't think that ship has already sailed. That there's no going back from where we are right now. The only hope is that Trump runs for election in 2024 and pulls a Teddy Roosevelt or a Grover Cleveland. But Trump is not going to go back. I know that many of you are buying into some of these theories you're seeing on social media, but the reality is Biden is the president, Harris is the vice president. And even if Biden were to go to jail, as Toby was suggesting, you still got Kamala Harris there. Now, look, I want to play some audio for you. This was from the White House press briefing room yesterday to show you how radical things have gotten. A Fox Radio reporter is talking about cisgender girls. This is all about the transgender issue. Let's take a listen.
Secondly, on President Biden's transgender rights executive action, specifically when it applies to high school sports, what message would the White House have for trans girls and cis girls who may end up competing against each other in sparking some lawsuits and some concern among parents. So does the administration have guidance for schools on dealing with disputes arising over trans girls competing against and with cis girls?
I'm not sure what your question is.
The president's executive order.
I'm familiar with the order, but what was your question about it?
My question is, does the president have a message for local school officials on dealing with these kind of disputes that are already starting to arise between trans girls who are competing and cis girls in a level playing field, particularly in high school sports when it leads to college scholarships? Is there any kind of messaging or clarification that the White House wants to give on the executive order?
I would just say that the president's belief is that trans rights are human rights, and that's why he signed that executive order. And in terms of the determinations by universities and colleges, I certainly defer to them.
So there you have it. There are two items here. First of all, the White House is telling all of you moms and dads of daughters out there, if you have a biological daughter, your daughter's not going to be able to play athletics. That's not going to happen. You're going to have a bunch of dudes who identify as girls that are going to be playing on these teams. I mean, that's just the reality of it. I'm sorry. The transgender movement is basically this in a nutshell. They believe that biological men make better women than biological women do. That's the working theory of transgenderism. Now, I want to say something about this Fox News Radio situation. There's no such thing as cisgender. It's male and female. This was very well established in the book of Genesis in the Old Testament. But it's sad to say that Fox News has been overrun by the sex and gender revolutionary crowd. They are terrified of the LGBT groups like GLAAD and the Human Rights Campaign. And they completely embrace those people, and they've been overrun, which is why they no longer defend religious liberty over there. They bow down, and they worship the LGBT agenda. And that's why you've got reporters now asking questions about cisgender. I mean, it's just outrageous. So anyway, just a little behind the scenes of what's going on over at Fox News. And by the way, we've got some additional news and info about what's happening over at Fox. We'll tell you more about that on the other side of this break. Also, Young America's Foundation, Spencer Brown is going to drop by. We've got some campus chaos going on. Plus, your calls, 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show.